5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. This is the electric drum. And right now, I'm with one of our griots in our village, been around for a little bit minute. She has legacy on top of legacies to uphold. Pam Kelly Monk, or Pam Monk Kelly. Which one you want to go with?
Pam Monk Kelly.
Pam Monk Kelly. Let's say, you know, keep the monk first. All right, got it.
Yes.
Where are you from, Miss Pam?
Well, I am a native of the New Haven area. I was born in the Hill. I was raised in the Hill. I went to school in the Hill. I work in the Hill. I serve God in the Hill. So needless to say, I have a passion for the Hill.
You were born, and so your parents are?
So my parents, they were.
First, let's get names.
My parents were Olivia, that was my mother, Olivia Hunter Monk. And my dad, his name was Conley F. Monk the First. Because we have the second and the third, so his name was Conley Monk, and they came from North Carolina, and we have an interesting story how they migrated here, and they came from Rocky Mount. My mom, she lived in Rocky. Well, they have an interesting love story. My mom, she lived in Rocky Mount, and my dad lived in which was the city, and my dad lived like 60 miles. In the country, and he lived in an area that was called Newton Grove. He was a sharecropper, and they were came to Connecticut to escape the Jim Crow South.
How did they meet?
So they met at a juke joint. Mom, she was hanging with her sister and her cousin, and my dad's cousin owned the juke joint, and his name was Kinsley, and so dad was there with his cousin in Rocky Mount, where my mom lived. But my mom, she was dropped down gorgeous. People would say she was the prettiest girl in Rocky Mount. So when my dad saw her, well, again, my mother loved to dance. So she must have been dancing or whatever. She caught his eyes. And so when it was time to leave, they needed a ride home. So my aunt, she was the slickest one. She was more like me. My father said, "Can I give you a ride home?" And my aunt told him, "Yeah, and Olivia will pay you." And so when they got to the house, he said, "You don't need to pay me. Just give me a date or give me, let me see you again." So that started the romance.
Then they migrated up north.
Yeah, my mom, dad came first, and he got a job at Grace New Haven Hospital, which is now Yale New Haven Hospital. And he sent for my mother. So my dad must have had a little money because he had a car. And back then, they were horse and buggy and all those type of modes of transportation. But he came up north and found a job at Grace New Haven Hospital.
Do we got a year?
Yes. It was in 1958.
Okay.
He sent for mom. And mom at that time, they had four children. So mom came on the train with the four children and met Dad here in New Haven. And the rest is history. The first place they lived in was on Lafayette. And all this happened in the hill, which is interesting. Lafayette Street. And then they lived on Oak Street. And that's where I was born, on Oak Street. So now they had four children. My sister Jackie was the first one born here. And then I was the sixth one that was born here. And then we moved to Cedar Street, which became our family, I'll say dynasty. That's where we all grew up at.
What do you remember of your father? What type of person was he? Or did he always have like a saying? Or
my father was, he was a military man. He served in World War II, and he was very stern. He spoke very little words, but when he spoke with volume. He was a small man in stature, but people that knew him loved him. So on the, like you said, favorite sayings, every Saturday morning, you know, we used to watch the cartoons and all those other things, but we had to clean up the house. So he would come in there, hit the floor, and everybody would jump up. You know, that was, you know, he would want you to get out of that bed and get busy and with cleaning up. So hit the floor was one of the, most memorable statements. But he also was one that said, whatever you get in your head, no one can take it out. He was very stern about education. So there were six of us in school at one time, based on the fact that we knew we had to go to school, get an education, because, you know, that he wanted us to be better than, or have better than what he had.
Mm. Let's talk a little bit about Mom.
Mm-hmm. So Mom was
disciplinarian. Okay, she was with the switch.
She was the one with
switch
the switch.
Or the broomstick.
She was, yeah. Dad didn't have to say anything. He just look at you. But Mom, she was the one that was would make sure that we stayed in. And with six girls, she had to be that way. She used to work at the Elder Haven Hospital herself, but she quit when we became of age. And she stayed home, so she was a stay-home mom. So Dad was working two jobs, what at Siemens Rubber Company and at Yale New Haven Hospital. He would come home for dinner. We all did this table thing. We all had to sit around the table. There were times when we had to recite what we learned in school that day, or he would throw out who was Posse de Leon, or, you know, he would ask us different historical facts. And, you know, my sister Marcella, being the intellectual one, she would say, me, and she would answer all the questions. But it was always, we were a two-family home. So Mom, she was the best cook that you can imagine. All the kids on the block would come, they call our house the Kool-Aid house, because all the kids would come by for, you know, to play with us. We had a large backyard. And Mom would cook chicken. I mean, she had this famous recipe before Colonel Sanders. And so the church, that was a very big part of our household. We were raised in a Christian home. So the church would come by, you know, as well. And we had a big red piano in the home. She hired a teacher to come. A music teacher, his name was Mr. Watts, and if some people are listening to this, and everybody learned from Mr. Watts. He walked through the neighborhood, and he taught us how to play the piano. So we all learned a little about playing the piano through Mr. Watts. But they had a little, but they made a lot. Even out of spaghetti, she would cook spaghetti a lot. We didn't understand why, but it went a long way. You know, so she was just fantastic.
Let's go down the line of all the sisters. There's six siblings?
Six girls. And it's four boys. No, I say right, three boys. So it's nine of us.
Let's go down the line.
So we want to start with the eldest. Yes,
please.
Okay, well, she would love to hear this. Our eldest sister, her name is Edith. And Edith just, thank God, she just turned 81 this year, well, last week. And she lives in North Carolina. She moved back to our native land. And she's doing some great things, like she's in the ministry. Mm. Her title is Bishop. And she continued to have her little social media, show, mm. where she reach out to different people.
That's a ministry. All right, after Edith comes?
My brother Conley. Conley's the Conley, only.
The second?
The second, a junior.
Junior. Conley Jr. Okay, Conley Jr.
And he's here in New Haven. He lives in Hamden. He's doing a lot of great things. He's also military. So most of my siblings were in the military.
Okay.
Conley was in.
You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the Rhythm of the City. You're listening to the words of Pamela Monk Kelly. Okay, she's going down the line. We got Edith. We got Conley, who served in the military, mm-hmm. lives in Hamden. Because I want to get through the show because I know you want to give everybody their shine. So we got a lot. Can we just go through the names?
Okay.
Okay.
So, well, I just want to say about Conley because he just got honored. And they put his name on the monument here in Hamden. Across right in front of him, the middle school.
Mm-hmm.
So his name was added as a Vietnam veteran.
Wow. So your dad was in World War II, and your brother was in Vietnam.
Yeah, correct.
Wow.
And he's a founder of the V that's on the Long Wharf.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that is the founder of that V.
Wow, the V Memorial mm-hmm. down on Long Wharf.
He built
yes.
that. Yes, he did. So I wanted to give him his props. The next one is my sister, Olivia. Olivia, her last name now is Henderson. She is the next one in line. Then we have my brother, Crony, who is deceased. He was also in the military. So Conley was in the Marines. Crony was in the Air Force.
Okay.
Olivia was in the Air Force. Did I say Crony was in the Air Force?
Yep.
Crony was in the Army, but he was airborne. He would jump out of airplanes.
Oh, okay.
So, but he's deceased now. The next one is Jacqueline, and she was not in the military, but Jacqueline, she works and still works in the school system, but her degree was in dietary. So she was a dietitian. Then comes me. Did I miss anybody? Then comes me, and I'll talk a little more about me a little later on.
Yeah.
We have my sister Marcella. So Jackie was a year older than me, Marcella a year younger than me. So I was the middle child. I always say I'm the middle child, but it's because of those two. And then we jump to my brother Gary. Gary, he was in the military. He was in the Air Force, and my mother called him the last button because he was her last boy. Hmm. And then I have a baby sister named Labanita, and she's still here in the Hamden area. So she's still in the New Haven, greater New Haven area.
Growing up in the hell in those days, what schools did you go to?
Well, I went to the best. So starting with Prince Street School, we went, and again, it was a neighborhood school. And all the kids, you knew all the kids that were in the neighborhood, but it was so close to your home that during those times, schools, they didn't have a lunch program or a breakfast program. So you would come home for lunch and then you go back to school. So we used to jump over the fence, go to Prince, come back home, and so on. We knew the neighborhood corner store, the mom and pop stores. We had fish markets. We had all kind of things that we didn't need to go out the neighborhood. We had everything right there. The best bread, and the bread's still there. They didn't move.
Loopy.
I forgot the name.
Loopy Langner?
Yes, they still. So you know.
I'm from the hills.
Oh, you're from the hills? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm not telling you anything new. So started with Lee. But then, I mean, with Prince, for again, what I was going to say was from K to eight.
Yeah.
So you know how many siblings I had. So we had like one in every other grade.
And
we had a little reputation there, you know. You just didn't mess with the monks because, you know, you had to mess with the next monk if you mess, you know, with the other younger one. So we had a reputation. But K to eight, then we went on to troop. And troop, we were there from seventh and eighth grade. And after that, we went back to Lee High School, which Lee High, as we know, no longer is Lehigh. It's the Yale, I think, nursing school.
Yep.
And Lehigh was open from 1986 to, no, 1990. Well, let's go back. 1968 to 1986.
Mm-hmm.
So that's...
So at one time in New Haven, there were three high schools, Lehigh, Wilbercross, and Hill House.
Correct.
A lot of people came out of Lehigh. A lot of graduates there, still around.
Still around and doing great things. So it's one of the reasons I won't say encouraged, but I was inspired to start the Hall of Fame for Lehigh School because we did not, all the other schools were having Hall of Fames. But not Lehigh, but we turned out a lot of great people, like you just stated. We have people that went, like Sly Williams went to the NFL. Did I say that right? He went to the basketball
NBA. Sly Williams is an NBA
player. My husband
player.
Would kill me for that one.
He's listening.
And then my husband, he played ball for Lehigh School and went on to Syracuse, and he was in the first Final Four. So there's other great people that even Judge Luby Harper, he was one of the administrators at Lehigh. We had great teachers and people are doing some magnificent things. But Career High is now our legacy. They took Lehigh from us, but Career High has our colors, our charter, and what we do. For Lehigh, we try to create some funding opportunities for Career High. And they have also turned out some remarkable people.
The Hill has changed over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Lehigh. Did you ever go away to college or did you stay in New Haven or was it was?
So I stayed here in New Haven because I was a teen mom. And my mother told me I can go away. I was very good with art, and I wanted to go to, I got accepted to the Massachusetts School of Art. But I did not want to come back home, and my daughter called me Pam and not Mommy. So my mother was a foster parent. She took care of over 45 foster kids. So it was something that she did, and she did well. But I wanted to definitely be a mother to my daughter. So I stayed here and I went to Southern. I received a full year scholarship for the first year. And then the rest of the years, I paid my way through. I worked at Yale New Haven Hospital, like everybody else in my family. And I also worked at Seamus Rubber Company. I worked at Towel One. And I paid my way through school.
Before we get there, before we go all there, I mean, you ran right by. Let's go back to mom and let's talk a little bit about her dedication to her community.
Yes.
Is that something that really instilled that kind of philosophy that you carry with you today?
Oh, yes. And all of my siblings are in caring professions, I believe, because of what my mother instilled in us. A lot of people don't know because at that time they didn't have like a shelter for homeless women or women that were battered women. My mother would open up our home. We had a three family floor house, and we would have like on the first floor would be the main house where we all live, and then she would have other people that our house was used as a hub for people that were coming from the South to get acclimated in the area. A person I could mention is Odell Cohen. When he was a police officer, I don't know if you know Odell, and he came from the South and came through the house. But also we had the third floor. So when there were people that were, it was almost like the Underground Railroad, when they were trying to, women, battered women, were trying to get away from their husbands. One of the politicians, I can't think of her name right now, but she would call my mother or Miss Turner from the foster care, would call my mother and say, "Miss Monk, I have someone that needed, you know, just for overnight." And my mom would open up the home and do that. Hmm. But she will also take kids like that as well. When kids, you know, needed to be pulled out of their homes, my mom would bring them to our house. And we had to take care of them and help her with the taking care of these young lives and souls.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, The Rhythm of the City. I'm Jose Candelario here with Pam Monk Kelly, carrying that last name with high revere. I guess if you don't know, she's part of the Monk Jazz legacy also. Played a big part in your life. How did you know him or did you know of him? And we're talking about
Thelonious.
Thelonious, yes.
Okay, so Thelonious. I knew of him, my dad, they were first cousins. And he's been to visit my dad and him, they've been in circles while he was living. I met him in his death. I went to his funeral. It was in 1982. So we all, I took my dad and my mom and we went there. It was in New York. So that's when it started, our relationship with his kids started blossoming, and we got to know other family members because, you know, him being a celebrity, we didn't, you know, get to interact that much. But on this level now, Marcella is the one that she has a great, well, we all have a great relationship with his son. And so T.S. and then his daughter, we met her, but she, I don't know if you're familiar with their songs, The Good Life, and her name was Boo, or her real name was Barbara, but she passed. So now T.S. is the only one left. But yes, I did know Thelonious. And my mom said his uncle Thelonious, which was his father, used to sit me on his lap and just, you know, bounce me on his knee. So I feel like that, again, you know, did he know that one day he was going to have a son that was so famous? And I don't think so, but I got a piece of it because he bounced me up on his knee.
Family legacy is so important. How important is it to know where you're from to get where you want to go in life? And do you think that that's something that's missing in some of the youth around you?
I think I do. I really do. And I don't know if I told you, but I'm the family historian. So I have written two books about family history. I have also created an atmosphere where, and along with my siblings, we have two organizations, one called Monk Council and the other one is a nonprofit called Monk Bloodline Heritage Connection. But we did a train ride, or we do a train ride. This is the third one that we have done where we take the youth back to the South. We took them on the same route that my mom took to come here. So this last April, we had over 50 of them on a train. We had the whole car, train car, and young, old, babies. We took them back to Rocky Mount, because that's where the train stations, or that's where the nearest stop was. And then when we got there, we had a jazz band that greeted us. And this is like 12 o'clock at midnight. And after that, we took them to the church where our parents used to attend. And that was in Newton Grove, where my dad was from. And from that, we took them to the different cemeteries, showing them where our ancestors lay. Also, we took them to the different museums. And like you just stated, they need to know what, even the slave plantation, we took them to the one of the Archibald Monk's plantation house. It's now some type of museum, but we wanted them to know this is where your great-great-grandfather labored. And then him being a slave or enslaved, because they weren't slaves, they were enslaved. By that being the case, he was able to come out and then buy property. So we're telling them now about generational wealth and financial literacy, just training them so that they'll know that you have to, what my father said a long time ago, once you get it in your head, nobody can take it out.
Hmm. Doing all that kind of work and you're in your community, you say you hit the hill through and through. You're still part of the management team. Let's start with, how has the community changed versus it stays the same?
Ooh. Well, physically, just there, its appearance definitely has changed, because when we were residential back then, and I'm talking in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, 90s, we have Yale being a big giant that comes into the neighborhood and is now just out buying up all the properties. We have other developers that are buying up all the properties. But I say Yale, but I should say there are other, like Hill Health Center. We have the App Foundation. So you have the area which used to be residential is now becoming a medical corridor. So that's where it's changed. And with they're pushing the people further and further out past Howard Avenue, closer to the boulevard. Now, the other thing, I guess is a sensitive spot for me, because the city was instrumental in taking our house that I was talking about that we love so dearly and took it by eminent domain. Now, this is the second time we had a house taken by eminent domain. We had one taken in North Carolina, Rocky Mount, where Thelonious Monk was born. So my parents owned that house. And so my sister Olivia, my brother Conley were born in that house. That house was taken by Rocky Mount by eminent domain. And then this happens to my parents again in New Haven. And we were told that it was going to be affordable housing. Well, it's a park. And it's, again, owned by Yale. And not much happens in that park, but maybe the nurses' graduation once a year. So if you try to, like other parks, you could probably say, can I get a permit to have something in it? Not that park. So if you see anybody else having something in there, just let me know, because I haven't seen it happen. So, yeah, the neighborhood has changed. When I told you we had neighborhood schools, you don't have that anymore. All the kids are being bussed out. Either you go into a charter school or you go into some type of magnet school, but not in your neighborhood.
Hmm. You used to be able to buy everything in your neighborhood. The economy has changed, where now everything is a big box mart, where you got to go there instead. Mm-hmm. Does that change the community or how the community interacts with itself?
I think so. And the community that I came from, we were so closely knitted that your neighbor knew your parents. I don't know my neighbors now. So your neighbors knew each other, and if you did something, by the time you got home, your mother would have known about it. So-and-so call. The other thing I miss is you can't keep your doors open anymore. And back then, we can keep our doors open. Those are things that, So the crime rate, the challenges that we have, that the neighborhoods, they're nothing like they were back in the day. Even that light, everybody talk about the street light. That light came on, we were home. We knew not to be out past, you know, nighttime.
But that does not, those rules no longer apply.
No, does not exist.
You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Jose Quinalario. This is Pamela Monk Kelly, historian for her family, a leader in our community. So many questions I want to ask because there's just so many ways we can go with this. As you're the management team that you're part of in the Hill North, Hill North, what are your objectives right now and what are your goals?
So we would love to see more development in the area where it's community led. Right now, everything is, we don't, you know, even though you call it a community management team, it doesn't really manage the community like it could. Things, for example, when they are going to have some huge project coming into the neighborhood, I think because the neighborhood is going to be impacted by it, they should really come to the neighborhood and have that discussion. But when we get it on the table at the management meeting, it's already, they say, oh, the train has already left the station. So they've been having these meetings already prior to coming to us. What can we do with just, you know, try to find a seat at the table? That's all we can do at that time. And that's unfortunate because we have so many skill levels in our community that probably can help, because the management team is just not the residents. The management team consists of our churches, our agencies, and, you know, even the city. The alders, they come whenever they need to present. So it could be more of a group effort if they would involve us early on in the process.
How old were you, or do you remember? I'm going off track and I'm going on backtracking a little bit because I am astounded by the history in the Hill, by the, but let's specifically the National Guard coming into the Hill neighborhood in 69 or 70.
Well, I would say 60s.
60s, right? But you were young.
I was
then?
There.
You were there though.
I was young. Marcella said she was 10, so I had to be 11 or 12.
Okay. And what do you recall from those tense times?
Now, it's funny that you brought this up because it was brought up as a question. And I keep mentioning Marcella because she's the one that remembers everything. You know, there's one sibling that you can go to and say, Marcella. She's the brainy one. So she, but some of the time she's not always there, but, and I hope she hears me. But Marcella, she's brought it. We had to speak last week on a platform about Fred Harris. And when we were speaking, Marcella brought up the fact how she has been triggered by the National Guards going into the neighborhoods because of what happened to us in the 60s. And I forgot about it, but she's telling the truth. What happened, pretty much, my dad had told us, we had a wraparound porch in front of our house. And he said to us, and it had like three large windows, not picture windows, but three large windows off the porch. And he said to Marcella and I, do not play that with those balls out in front of the house. And so we've thrown back and forth the, it wasn't a baseball, but it was a ball. A small ball. And so not listening, Marcella was the one supposed to catch the ball. She missed and it hit the window and it broke the window. That evening or that day, we had the riots broke out. And when the riots broke out, the National Guards and all the different military, whatever, whoever they sent in came in and they were throwing tear gas bombs. And when they did that, we were all, we were little children. We were all, you know, eyes were burning and things like that. So when you said, did I have, do I remember it well. And remember them coming into our neighborhood to stop the riots of the 60s.
Stop the riots of the 60s. When you see it now, does history repeat itself because we don't share enough of the history?
I think so, but I think what was different about the history, they were organized. Even with the Black Panthers being in the neighborhood, they were organized. I don't think we have that organization now. We don't have, I was just saying we should be pooling our monies now. Because we need to see what's happening with the government. When they shut down the government, if we had some ways, even the churches, or we just bind together in some way to save our people. But we don't have that type of togetherness and uniqueness. And so I think it's different now than it was back then. And again, I mentioned Fred Harrison because he organized the Parents Association because of what he saw happening in the schools to his children. We need a leader. We don't have a leader. I don't know. Maybe Jose, you said you, what age you are. I think you'll be a good leader because we're, you know, a lot of people are aging out. The fighters are aging out. The young people are now doing a lot of the social media influencing, and they're staying behind. You know, I won't say they're hiding behind, but they're staying behind the devices. We need someone that's going to step out front and teach the children.
We can keep talking, but look, my question is to you. You want people to step up, right? But we have a history of what happens to our leaders, Eggers, X, King. Yet you want someone to step up and take a chance?
Well, you know, I was speaking with someone about Nat Turner the other day. His birthday was yesterday. And this a young man, he writes plays and movies or films about Nat Turner. And he brought it to my attention that, you know, Nat Turner, he got free. He was free. And he went back into slavery to save the people because he was inspired. He can't go and have a good life and his people are struggling. So it's what we do every day. We take a chance. Some of us are called and to do these things. Not just anybody can do it. You have to have the desire. You have to have the passion. You also got to have leadership from up above. If God is not with you in this, you know, and then we all know that it's a struggle. It's even we can talk about Mandela. He went to jail for years just for his people. So God is going to send us somebody. I don't know who it is, but I'm just believing that we need good leaders. We need people. I love the fact of what's her name? I like Jasmine Crockett. I really just love this young lady because she speaks the truth. And I, you know, even though her life is in danger every day. She goes up against the president of the United States, Jimmy Kimmel, going against the president of the United States. They're taking a big chance, and you know, with laws that protects the president, he can do certain things and will not. I don't want to talk politics on, you know, this forum, but it's just needs to be a way that we can organize. That's why I said we have to organize. I don't want it to be a me. I think it should be a group of people come together and organize to help our people.
We can talk about that, but the truth is that in order for people to organize in my history and understanding of revolution and when people come together, that we need to hit certain lows in our society. That we are now structured to avoid. Okay, one is literacy rate in the like 10th percentile. infancy mortality rate in the single digits, food and poverty rates in the teens. So we are built in society to not have those three things. So that really galvanized people.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. And when you say hit lows, they're also, we even talked about IQs and it's people with low intelligence. And this is what, you know, have helped with the election. And now we only have two classes. We don't have a middle class anymore. So those things are changing as well. So we will hit our lows. Some of us are hit low and they came back up, you know. So I just think that it's just, I won't say it's life, but it's life challenges. We have a lot of life challenges.
This is the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Jose Candelario. This has been Pam, Monk, Kelly. We're at the end of the conversation. Please give us our last words.
Well, I want to thank you for allowing me to come and talk about me. I appreciate what you're doing for the community because you're keeping it real. And I just hope that the things that we discussed today, maybe there can be someone out there that might say, you know, we can help you do or reach some of your goals or direct you in this the right direction, point you in the right direction. It's really great to be able to speak the truth, and I appreciate this time.
Thank you so much. Pam Monk Kelly here on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. This has been the Electric Drum. I'm Jose Candelario. And to everyone out there, thank you so much for listening.